welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. South Sudanese journalists say press freedom is under attack in their country.
The situation is still bad because despite the fact that we have the laws, access to information, we have the Media Authority Act, and then we have even those institutions in place, we expected that the Media Authority would be now the one regulating the media.
And some South Sudanese citizens say free press matters.
Mimoa Daniela, freedom of expression and also, let's say, freedom of media in South Sudan is not fully recognized.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. It's World Press Freedom Day, and rights groups say scores of African journalists continue to be jailed, even killed, in pursuit of the truth. They say media freedom continues to decline across the continent, with the Horn of Africa and the central and northern regions of particular concerns. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
I had already issued an order that Miraya FM should not be allowed to attend.
We apologize for that mix match. We will bring you the tape from Darren Taylor.
Reporters Without Borders says almost 600 journalists remain in prison, many in Africa. Egypt and Morocco often jail reporters without trial, as do Eritrea and Ethiopia. In January, radio presenter Martinez Zogo was killed in Cameroon, while the editor of the Chronicles newspaper, John Ntwali, was killed in Rwanda. Across the continent, journalists have gone missing while on assignment, including in Democratic Republic of Congo and Mali. Louis Mudge, Central Africa Director at Human Rights Watch, says long-time rulers feel especially threatened by young people demanding change.
And that is being manifested through a pressure on journalists. A lot of these rulers don't want to hear from journalists if the journalists are telling them things that they don't want to hear. If you talk about a president who's been in power since the 80s or 90s, and a journalist starts to sort of demonstrate why that might be going against the democratic principles laid out in the country's very own constitution, and highlighting that to the population, you can see how that journalist might get in a lot of trouble.
Even in southern Africa, where media rights are more respected than in other regions, there are problems. In Mozambique, Ebrahimo Mbaruko of Palma Community Radio has been missing for 2 years. In Zimbabwe, journalists are regularly detained and assaulted. There, New York Times correspondent Jeffrey Moyo remains in jail.
South Sudan, I can't imagine that you're going to have any level of media freedom. Burkina Faso, there you've got immediate clampdowns.
William Bird is director of Media Monitoring Africa. It analyzes the state of press freedom across the continent.
Head towards Ghana and then you go towards Namibia, South Africa. There's relatively high levels of media freedom, and yet journalism itself seems to be under, you know, existential threat generally, where sustainability models are still being questioned. We're still seeing more journalists being lost to the sector than coming into the sector, and this at a time when the need for accurate, credible information is even more important, precisely because it's now even more easy to literally make anything up and make that look incredibly convincing.
Bird says repressive governments and other bad actors are making widespread use of social media to spread lies and distortions. When African journalists try to correct these, he says, they're vilified online and their loved ones sometimes get death threats. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
From Johannesburg, we go to Khartoum, where the chairman of the Sudanese Journalist Syndicate says the ongoing conflict in Sudan has worsened press freedom. Abdelmounem Abo Idriss says after the ouster of former President Omar al-Bashir, press freedom improved, but it quickly worsened again after the military removed civilian-led transitional government of Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok. He tells VOA's Nabil Biagio 15 journalists have been physically attacked, threatened, intimidated, and others unable to get out the truth about the conflict between Sudan's army and the paramilitary support forces.
This fighting put the journalists and the media institute in a very critical situation. We have more than 50 journalists have been stuck in the fighting area for more than 5 days. Many media have been hit by explosions. This put life of the journalists in Sudan under risk. We call many times for the both parties of the fighting to secure the protection of the journalists during their coverage. But no one cares about that. This is something put the life of most of journalists who are working for local media or international media or regional media under risk. Plus that, there is a huge raining of fake news and hate speech, which put the journalists under pressure to fabricate what is the realistic and what the fake news, and to avoid the hate speech. This is all things make the environment where Sudan's journalists working a very difficult situation.
Have there been any attacks on journalists or incidents of deaths or injuries during the current fighting?
We have our colleague, a photographer, Faiz Abubakr. He was injured by a bullet. And we have our journalist, Muhammad Al-Fatih. His house has been hit by explosions. And our colleague, Al-Jamil Al-Fadil, his wife is driving with his family. He was under shooting for a minute before he was able to leave the area with his family. We have some journalists receive a call from some people threatening them, if you continue doing this, we can kill you. Unknown people, we don't know them. Because of the war situation, even they cannot file a case in the police or to go to court so as to protect themselves.
Times of conflict and crisis, these are critical times for the work journalists do, getting the truth out to the people. But today, if you turn on the TV in Sudan or the radio, you either tune in to a side that's supporting the army or someone who's supporting the RSF. Everyone is just fueling the current fighting. How has the restriction of the freedom of press affected this conflict?
The journalists, sometimes because they want to save their life, it is difficult for them to give the truth, because if they give the truth, they can be under attack from one of the parts of the fighting. And we have the case of our colleagues who are working for the national radio and national TV. They have been stuck for a week inside the national radio and the national TV. And now the national radio, for more than 2 weeks, it's not broadcasting. And also the national TV is broadcasting on and off. Also, the journalists are not free to move because the fighting is everywhere and they cannot reach the place where they can collect the information.
Wednesday is World Press Freedom Day, and it happens that Sudan is in the middle of a brutal and bloody conflict. What are your reflections on this special day for journalists at this critical time Sudan is in?
Now we are, as a journalist syndicate, we are preparing a statement calling for the safety of Sudanese journalists under this war, and saying one of the main things have been affected by this war is the truth. And we are working on to establish a center that secure the protection of the Sudanese journalists.
That's Abdelmounem Abo Idriss, the chairperson of the Sudanese Journalist Syndicate. He spoke with Nabil Biagio from Khartoum on Tuesday. Various rights watchdogs have reported extensively on media environment in South Sudan, with reports of journalists being killed, jailed, or intimidated. South Sudan's Minister of Information and Government spokesperson, Michael Makwey, has on several occasions denied reports of journalists being harassed in the country. But earlier last month, during a briefing at South Sudan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Makwey threatened journalists working with the UN-sponsored Radio Miraya.
I had already issued an order that Miraya FM should not be allowed to attend any government function. And any Miraya FM journalist who comes not authorized, not registered, will definitely be sent away or arrested.
South Sudan's acting minister for foreign affairs, Deng Dao Deng, also told journalists at the same briefing to watch their backs. He warned some journalists to avoid focusing on what he called negative reporting.
We want you to report exactly what we have said here today. Don't go and remove some of the things because it will endanger your life. Please go and write exactly what we have said.
We'll have several reports on press freedom in this special broadcast featuring press freedom in South Sudan. The president of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan says press freedom is under attack in the country. Patrick Oyet says journalists face frequent harassment and intimidation from security agencies who shut down radio stations and censor newspaper contents. Oyet is calling on international press freedom watchdogs to rescue the situation by confronting the government of South Sudan.
The situation is still bad because despite the fact that we have the laws, access to information, we have the Media Authority Act, and then we have even those institutions in place, we expected that the Media Authority would be now the one regulating the media. If anybody has a complaint about the work of any journalist or any media house, they would go to Media Authority, and therefore the media should do their work in a free environment. However, that is not the case. We still up to now have national security officials who are deployed in the printing houses or printing press, whereby any newspaper that is going to be printed will first of all have to be read by them, and then they can decide to say this story we don't need, and that story will not go on in the paper. So that is really a very big problem as far as freedom of expression is concerned.
What are some of the issues that the national security is not happy about that should not be reported in press or on radio? What are some of these issues?
Some of these issues are very random. For example, I'll give you in February one of the articles that was removed. It was an article about a former minister of humanitarian affairs, Peter Mayen. So the article was about him and it was removed. So you would not even understand, really, there is no like standard operation procedure or something like that where they say these are the kind of stories we don't want. It's not there. Sometimes you'll find it's a story about dredging. It's an environmental story has been removed. Sometimes it's a political story has been removed. So you cannot really know what exactly they don't want, you know. So that's really the challenge we have.
The country's information minister, who doubles also as the government spokesperson, Michael Makwelu, told some of our reporters that journalists in South Sudan enjoy press freedom. What is your comment to that?
Only as far as the law is concerned, because the laws are there, but unfortunately the laws are not being implemented. That is the most unfortunate thing, because the laws guarantee, the constitution guarantees that freedom of expression, guarantees the freedom of the press. The Media Authority Act provides all those protection to journalists. But when you go to practice, perhaps this is what he has not yet discovered. When you go to practice, then we have a lot of challenges that really you cannot still say that we have freedom. We are engaging. For example, in April, we had a meeting with the press secretary in the office of the president in which we agreed on ways in which we can make it easy for journalists to access even the office of the president and do their work by extension across the country without much interference. We have also engaged the Minister for Information on several occasions. So some of the challenges that we have, he knows, he has promised. But what I believe also is that it is something that will take a bit of time because it involves a lot of stakeholders.
And what about the Media Authority? The regulatory body was formed to help journalists do their work in a very conducive environment. What is your assessment of their work?
They have also been intervening whenever we could tell them that we have an issue with a journalist like this, maybe arrested. They have also been helping in a way. So that is okay to that end. However, Media Authority also still has a lot of challenges because Media Authority is only in Juba. They don't have offices in the state. So some of the things that happen in the state, a journalist has been expelled from a state, a journalist maybe has been arrested. It is very difficult for them to take some action. A radio station has been closed. It takes a lot of time because they are not present across the country. Also, when you go to their office, you find that there are also few. The institutions that have been, or the departments that are supposed to be established by the Act, some of those departments under Media Authority are not yet there, like the complaints team that is supposed to receive complaint and work on whatever complaint has come is not there. So because the personnel are few, they're also overwhelmed.
I mean, Patrick, you're a practicing journalist, and I've seen your reports, I've seen your work. How do you feel working in an environment that has all these challenges that you have been talking about?
I am worried because things that are sometimes directed towards journalists in terms of arrest, in terms of some words that some politicians say, for example, that, you know, if you don't report this as I say, then maybe it is a threat to your life. You see, these are very big things. But unfortunately, for us now in South Sudan, we don't even feel it. And that's why I think we are sick. We are not now normal. We don't react to it. We take it like, you know, it's just okay. But actually, they are not okay. So that is unfortunately the situation of many of us who work in South Sudan, that it has gotten so much that people take what is wrong to be just normal, you know. Whereas if this was supposed to happen in other countries, it would be big issues. Maybe a minister would be forced to apologize and things like that. For us, we just take it like this is just normal, it's just one of them, and we continue. So I think we are not okay. We are not normal anymore.
That's Patrick Oyed, president of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan. He spoke with me from Juba earlier today. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what is the state of press freedom in your country? Find out more after this break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some residents of the Jonglei State capital are expressing views about the state of press freedom in South Sudan. Some of the residents say press freedom is under attack in South Sudan, with journalists being arrested and their media houses shut down. The residents further say government officials have often openly warned journalists and media organizations against reporting the views of opposition parties and armed groups. Dengai Deng collected the views of residents of Bor Town and compiled this vox pop.
I'm Peter Jagayong, based in Bor. Actually, I don't see whether there is a free space for media, because, you know, to some extent you find journalists, you know, arrested and they harassed, and some of them also, you know, taken to prison, detained, and without charges. So this one means that there is no space completely for media to, you know, for people to exercise the media, and also media to play its role in the country.
Press freedom in South Sudan faces a lot of challenges. Journalists often experience harassment, intimidation, and violence while reporting. And I've also noticed that censorship is a major concern. So on International Press Freedom Day, it is crucial to highlight the importance of press freedom for democracy and transparency, to support journalists working in challenging conditions, and advocate for a safer environment for them in South Sudan.
I am a Joel Kumarians in Jonglei State. Actually, there is no freedom expressed in the state since we have many of the journalists that were detained. Some are still even in the Blue House now. We have one of our colleagues called Peter Kajobe. He's in Blue House now, and the process is not actually known what took him from Jonglei State to the Blue House. We are still struggling to know what was the issue, and if there was a press freedom, then we would be able to let this person be out.
Thank you, Voice of America. My name is Manas James Okony. Throughout the first decade of statehood, our country continues to be ranked low on press freedom, with harassment, arbitrary detention of journalists becoming order of the day. Of course, in recent years, there have been a bit of improvement. Not so many journalists found themselves dead.
Those were voices of South Sudanese from Bor. That's Dengai then collected those voices from the streets of Jonglei State capital Bor. Some journalists in South Sudan are expressing mixed views on a requirement by the media authority to issue accreditation cards to South Sudanese journalists. South Sudan Media Authority issued directives to journalists working in the country to apply for accreditation. Elijah Alier, the managing director of the Media Authority, said all national journalists must acquire accreditation from the authority so that they are recognized as qualified media practitioners in the country. However, some journalists say authorities in South Sudan may use accreditation as pretext to suppress press freedom. Manyang David Mayer reports from Juba.
In October 2022, the South Sudan Media Authority issued directives to journalists working in the country to apply for accreditation. Speaking during an event to mark 30th anniversary of World Press Freedom Day in Juba on Wednesday, Elijah Alier, managing director of the Media Authority, says accreditation of journalists exists as a way of fighting what he calls misleading and damaging information in South Sudan.
The accreditation of national journalists will ease access to public information deemed to be in the public interest, while the accredited journalists will have the opportunity to attend government conferences and conduct interviews. We have legal and moral obligation to regulate and promote responsible media that protect the territorial integrity and sovereignty of South Sudan from misleading and damaging information that cannot be substantiated.
Patrick Oyet is the president of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan.
The complaint we are hearing is that the process is very slow. At least I have had complaints from more than five people who say they apply, but whenever they go, they find at least some new things that they did not know existed or needed.
Oyet says he still believes accreditation by the media authority provides some form of protection for journalists when it comes to their day-to-day work in the field where they are constantly confronted by security personnel.
You know, these documents come from the government. And in most cases, especially when you travel out of Juba, you go to states. This accreditation helps in a way because the government sees that is actually their document.
Oyet says the accreditation requirements should not be used by media authority to block some South Sudanese journalists from doing their work. A Juba-based journalist, Dennis Logonye, is among the journalists who has submitted his paperwork for accreditation. Logonye says he understands the importance of accreditation and will continue to wait for his accreditation card.
I haven't gotten my accreditation yet, though I only had the one when the pop came. I'm in the process of getting mine. I'm trying to get things together and then I can be able to get as the month nears. I haven't seen any challenge so far because all what is indicated for journalists to be accredited, they are just minimal, in which I think the media authority has been so lenient when you compare with other countries.
Media authority issues accreditation to journalists who can show professional certificates, a recommendation letter issued by the media agency where an individual journalist works. Applicants are also required to pay an annual fee of 10,000 South Sudanese pounds, or approximately $10. One journalist who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisal from media authority says accreditation is one way of blocking press freedom in the country.
For example, if you are critical about some reporting in this country, they will be asking, okay, the national security, as mentioned earlier on, of course, we know what they were doing before and what they are still doing. They will be asking this media authority and saying, do you know this journalist? If they say yes, then they will say, okay, we like him, his accreditation to be withdrawn. Once the accreditation is withdrawn from you because of you being critical, reporting on issues of this country, then definitely that is enough to say you are not allowed to practice what you are doing. And that is why we are a bit skeptical about the issue of accreditation.
The media authority has banned reporters working for UN-run Radio Miraya from covering government events, saying the media house has defied a regulation requiring it to register with the media regulator since last year. The UN mission in South Sudan signed status of force agreement, or SOFA, with the government of South Sudan in 2011. Section 4, Article 10 of SOFA states that UNMISS communication operations, including radio, shall be exempted from all restrictions by the government of South Sudan on UN's operation. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
Still on matters to do with press freedom, the concept of free press is still new in many African countries, including South Sudan. Reporter Juliana Shiapai was up and about on the streets of Juba asking some South Sudanese about the importance of free press.
Mimoa Daniela, freedom of expression and also, let's say freedom of media in South Sudan is not fully recognized. Reason being is that journalists are being censored most of the time. Media institutions are given some constraint in terms of how they cover South Sudanese stories.
I'm Amo Monica, a journalist in South Sudan. Well, when it comes to freedom of press in South Sudan in particular, I think we still have a lot of work to do. In that being said, because we are not free to express our freedom. We are in the contents of where you have to mind whatever you have to say. You can't just speak out your mind. Whatever you have to say is being controlled.
In my sincere opinion, I don't think it's that free. We could be making a few steps, but it's not as free as we would. By that I mean it's very difficult to find a journalist going on the street to cover up a story without being asked here and there for approvals. It's very difficult to see a journalist moving around with his camera doing reportings. So it's very difficult to find most times the authorities aligning with the journalists in the same page. So if I feel until then, we are still not having a very conducive environment for the journalist.
My name is Mattia Samuel Timatio. I am a journalist from South Sudan, and I've been working for the past 8 years in this country. The fact remains there has been no free press in this country, because you find that maybe there are some informations that we need to cover and give to the public, but you find that getting them is very hard, and if you continue, you might end up being arrested and intimidated.
When we look at the situation in South Sudan, we have seen situations where individual journalists are being threatened and intimidated just for being journalists. When you meet an authority, say somewhere, maybe in a private function, and they tell you that we know you're a journalist, so we do not want to see you reporting anything here, that sends you a message to be conscious, really, you know, every time on what you publish at your media house, creating self-censorship in you. And that is already intimidation.
My name is Abraham Ogot from South Sudan. I am a former journalist. Simply, I couldn't continue doing journalism in South Sudan because of restriction, censorship, and other media-related harassment.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Selekuma mama bora benyamo.